Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday night prayer meeting service. And we hope that you have had a great day today, great week this week. And someone said the other day that we have gotten around 15 inches of rain in the Douglasville area. But don't know about where you live or not, but we appreciate the rain. And but yet we've also had a tornado in Douglasville, and there was also a tornado on Fulton Industrial and these past couple of days. And of course the terrible report of the owner of the barbecue house Hudson's there off of Bankhead Highway. Prayers really go out to his family during this time. And I'm telling you, whenever it's God's time for you to go, you can be pulled over on the side of the road, and a tree will come down on you, if it's your time to go or not. But nonetheless, we're praying for that establishment and that family and all the others that were affected by the storms this week. And I know there was even some in Mississippi and Alabama. And let's pray for them tonight when we pray. But again, we're excited about the service tonight and looking forward to bringing God's Word to you here in just a few moments. We have the opportunity and the privilege this morning to preach at Grace Christian Academy in their chapel service, and had a wonderful time there. And so we appreciate Mr. Maddox, who is the David Maddox, the principal, the pastor, and everything else that he needs to do. And but we appreciate him and Brother Bo Spriggs, which is the associate, and all the staff and faculty there at Grace Christian School. What a wonderful school. What amazing teachers. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. And so we certainly are so very thankful for the teachers there at Grace, and teachers all around. And we appreciate you and your labor of love and sacrifice for our children. Tonight we're going to jump right into things, and let's remember Brother Leonard Palmer tonight. He is going tomorrow morning for his eye surgery, and the second part to his eye surgery is going to be on Monday morning. I'm guessing in the morning time, but he goes tomorrow, and he has to be there at 7:30. And I'm thinking that surgery time is going to be around 9:30. And so, Brother Leonard, we're praying for you and Miss Dolores during this time. And from what Brother Leonard told me, I spoke to him actually a couple hours before church. And Miss Dolores can't be anywhere around him or anybody else for that matter over the weekend. And kind of chuckled with Brother Leonard because he said, I guess Miss Dolores is just going to have to slide my dinner in there on the TV tray and run out of the room. But I'm glad that he was able to laugh. I'm glad Miss Dolores as well. But we're praying Brother Leonard through this, and strength for Miss Dolores during this time. And we are praying that this tumor behind the eye will be taken care of. And with the radioactive seeds that they're doing, the patch they're going to put on back of the eye, and then on Monday, they're going to go in there and check it out and see how things are looking. So we are praying for you and your surgery tomorrow, and we'll have prayer in just a moment. Also, I spoke with Brother Harold Dolph just a few minutes ago, and Brother Harold has been taking therapy, and so had a little laugh with him as well. At least I laughed. I'm thinking he laughed. If not, my apologies, Brother Harold. But nonetheless, he's had a little bit of a tough time with his therapy. And I know that there's the physical part with the bending and walking. But then I believe he has some pull therapy as well. And that pull bout got the best of him the other day, he said. And he got out of the pull, and he was just limp and couldn't put his sandals on or anything. And so, I know in the long run, Brother Harold, all that's going to work for your betterment. so we're praying that you'll get some good rest tonight and feeling, and hope you feel much better by tomorrow. Also, before church, Miss Joy Burgess called me and gave report on Brother T.D. Brother T.D. went for, I believe, a scan or MRI, something like that, concerning the tumor that he has in his brain. And good news, it has not grown. It's still benign. And so we praise the Lord for that. But that tumor in Brother T.D.'s brain, it's the size that it is, it's pressing up against the memory part of the brain. And so he's having some trouble there. He also has congestive heart failure. But the heart failure issue, I believe it's about the same as well. He's on a new medication, and so we're praying that that new medication will continue to keep things at bay like they are and make them better if it can. And so that's what we're praying for tonight for Brother T.D., praying for Miss Joy as well. And we're just praying for everyone on our prayer list tonight from start to finish. We're remembering everyone, and in just a moment we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. But I do want to mention some reminders tonight. And Mother's Day, this coming up Sunday morning, or this coming up Sunday, our morning service, we will be our Mother's Day service. And but then, no PM service this Sunday night. Spend time with your mother, your family, and we're going to continue to do that, what we've been doing traditionally. Mother's Day service, 11 a.m., and then no p.m. service. And then on the 16th, the very next Sunday, will be our graduation Sunday. We have some young ones that are graduating. Some teenagers are graduating. And so we're going to honor them in service on the 16th. And then on the 23rd, we're going to have the diplomats with us at 10 a.m. We, since we didn't have Jubilee, out of the abundance of caution, while we're going to have the diplomats, and we're going to start them at 10 o'clock. And we're going to sing them as long as they can sing. And then we'll bring some type of message there at the end. And we just want to kick things off for the church, because the next following Sunday, we're kicking off Sunday school. And I know Brother Ceylon, man, I've got to have Sunday school soon, or he's going to tie me up and put me in a chair or something. But Brother Ceylon, he's so ready to teach, and I know others are too. And so that will be our Sunday school kickoff on the 30th. That Sunday morning, we'll give you some times, a time closer to that date. So just remember that. And then on June 2nd, that's going to be Wednesday. That'll be our Wednesday night kickoff, where we're going to be back in person. And my apologies if I was heard wrong for this Wednesday night. In the very beginning, I say beginning, but a few weeks ago I said we possibly will be back in a couple weeks on Wednesday night. And but there was a little more work involved than I thought, really. And so that's why we pushed it back, and we tried to announce that in the middle of our wonderful service we had Sunday morning and Sunday night. But that announcement may have gotten lost in what God was doing, and that's okay, because we'll announce it again. But June 2nd on Wednesday night is going to be our kickoff for Wednesday night service. And then we will be all in, folks. We will be all in. And we will still use our brains. We'll be precautionate. But we were being precautionate before all this, you know, with everything else in this world that you might catch, you know. So we'll continue to be cautionate. We'll continue to be careful. But we're going to worship. And we're going to reach out to our community. And we're going to invite folks to come. And we're going to have our outside events every last Sunday night of every month. And we're going to keep ushering in things. And because we want our church to be a growing church and a going church. And so we're not looking back. We're definitely leaning forward to the things which are before. And so tonight, let's pray, and then we're going to bring the lesson that we feel the Lord has laid on our heart for this evening. You pray for us as we pray for you, and we hope the message will be a blessing tonight. Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name, and we pray for Brother Leonard, Lord. We pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors tomorrow. This is a very delicate surgery, as every surgery is. But Lord, this is dealing with the eye. And so God, we pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors, Lord, and everybody that has part in this operation. I pray, Lord, that you would give safety and give comfort to Leonard and Miss Dolores as well, as being the helpmate during this time and in life in general. But let this be a successful surgery. Lord, let it be a one-time, one-shot, one-and-done deal where it's taken care of, Lord, and this tumor is gone. And Brother Leonard's eyesight is back the way it should be, even better than before, Lord. That's our prayer. And we pray for the conclusion of his surgery on Monday, that you meet with him there, the doctors, everybody taking part in everything. And Father, for the recovery process during the meantime, we pray, Lord, that the pain would be at least as possible, if not no pain at all, Lord, is what we're praying for. But that you'd be with them and Miss Dolores and family as they try to come together but yet stay spaced apart for this operation. And Lord, tonight we pray for Brother Harold. You'll be with him. Touch him, God. I pray that you would strengthen his muscles, Lord, and loosen the things that are tight that has him in pain tonight, his hip, his just the bodily elements he's dealing with, the therapy, Lord, that can be harsh at times. We pray for him that you'll just be with him. Sing over him, Lord. Keep him comfortable, Lord. Father, we appreciate Brother Harold. And then Brother T.D. Burgess, we pray a prayer for him that you would touch him. We praise you, Lord, for what you've already done with his tumor on his brain, that you've kept it at the same size that it is, no new growth, not cancer. And so we receive that, Lord, and we're thankful for that. Be with Miss Joy and family. It's our prayer for them, Lord. And for all of our others, Lord, on our prayer list, we just pray for God's best on every life, every person, every situation, everything. Father, I lift up to you tonight, Miss Cassie Kronovich, that you would be with her, Lord. We're going to reach out and talk to her soon, Lord. I pray that you would just strengthen her and be with her during her time, Lord, of days in and days out, Father. Miss Barbara Anderson down at the rehab, who's taking therapy again, continue to be with her, oh Lord, is our prayer. And Father, we just praise you for the services that we had last week. Sunday morning, how you breathed upon us, Lord, and the church of God, they testified and gave praises unto you. What a blessing, Lord. And the great music that was sung, Lord, thank you for that. And then for our first official service being back in, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray for the children's home that you would shield and protect them, Lord. Help them continue to march on, as well as us. We being one unit, the children's home and the church, but yet different duties and obligations. Help us all, Lord, continue to move on with praise on our lips and prayers in our hearts. We love you tonight, and we thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. We thank you for the cross of Calvary. Now, Father, I pray that you bless the message tonight and those that are listening and watching. If there is one among us that needs to be saved, let today, tonight, be the night of salvation. Strengthen the children of God during the process, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight, we're going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I've had three words that have been reoccurring in my mind the past few days. And they're simple words. I've shared these words with you before, but we have added some things to these words. And again, they've been reoccurring in my mind. And they're simple words, but if we practice these words, if we practice, if we do our best to implement these words and what they embody, their definitions, you can conclude that you will be on the right path in your life. You may be on the right path now, and that is, praise the Lord for that. But if we acknowledge these words and do our best to implement these words into our daily life, we will continue to be on that right path, and we'll continue to abound in our Christian life and grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will continue to, again, to abound in the area of faith and believing God. Our faith will be strengthened. And so tonight, with that said, I want to talk to you about relative words to remember. Relative words to remember. These are words tonight that pertain to the children of God. These words tonight, these three simple words, they are for us. You'll find these three words in the pages of God's Word. They have and they hold a principle thing, meaning if we do these things, then we'll never fail. There will be fruit in our life. We'll be steady in our life. We won't waver in our life. We'll continue. We will abound in the Christian faith because these words are relevant to us if we would practice them. Number one tonight, there's the word prioritize. Prioritize. And what I mean by prioritize is just simply keeping Jesus number one. I've said before and I'll say it again, Jesus is and should be our centerpiece. Jesus should be our centerpiece. Jesus should be our nucleus. Jesus should be the thing that we allow to have preeminence over our life, that centerpiece, our nucleus, the brain, the heart, the mind, if you will. We ought to continue to keep Jesus in His rightful place, that is, number one, being at the top of the ladder, being at the center part of our lives. Again, our nucleus, our brain, our heart, He should be everything. And the reason why I say that, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, I say that because when He is number one in our life, when Jesus is at the very center of our life, that means everything that we do, all of our responsibilities, is being fueled from that centerpiece. You've got the position as dad and mom and grandparent and worker and schoolgoer, you know, on the job and all of these other things. Well, if Jesus is the centerpiece and we're keeping Him number one and we're praying and we're acknowledging Him and we're reading God's Word, then everything else that we do is going to come from Him. He's going to be giving us the energy to do those things. He's going to give us the energy to fulfill those responsibilities. Now, the flip side to that is, and this is the case in a lot of Christian lives, is when Jesus is not the centerpiece, but more or less, He's the outer piece. He's the rim. He's not the hub, but He's the rim. And what happens when Jesus is not the hub, but when Jesus is the rim? Feels like I'm doing that YMCA song. But I'll tell you what happens. We go to fulfill those responsibilities, and we're doing it in the energy of the flesh, because we have to have a source of energy come from somewhere. And so as being human, we get our energy, our mindset, our heart's courage. We get all of that from ourselves if we're not getting it from Jesus. And so he tonight could either be the centerpiece, the hub, and he could be our source, or he could be the outer wheel, the rim. And but if we do that, then we know that we won't successfully fulfill those obligations we have. And so there is this priority tonight. In fact, in John chapter number 15, John speaks of it in the whole chapter. He talks about abiding in the vine. And Jesus says that, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." And he says that we must abide in him. We must stay with him. We must remain with him. Meaning, don't get ahead of him and don't slide back from him, but stay with him. And sometimes staying with Jesus and sometimes remaining with the Lord, sometimes the cross gets heavy. Because if we're walking with him, there's a cross that's there. And if we're getting ahead of him, and then if we're sliding back from him, there's no cross there, but there's the cross when we follow Jesus. And so sometimes the cross gets heavy, but we get our energy, we get our stamina, we get our power spiritually and mentally from him, because he's our centerpiece, because we're staying with him. We're remaining with him. Sometimes people think, well, I'm just going to say yes to this, and I'm not going to check with Jesus because I'm afraid of what he might say. He might say no to this, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it, and then I'll ask for forgiveness if it doesn't work out. A lot of people have that kind of idea where it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And I don't think that's the biblical thing to do, you know. I think we ought to ask God first and see what he says to us and see how he leads us. Because he can, by saying no to something we might want to do, he could stop a whole lot of heartache before it ever happens. And so sometimes, though, we can get ahead of God. And if we do that, then his blessing is not on it. His power is not in it. And he'll allow us to learn to wait on him. The same thing with just saying, oh, you know what? The Christian life, it's just a hard life. And so I'm not going to take up my cross and follow Jesus. You know, I'm not going to remain with him. I'm not going to stay with him. I'm not going to abide with him. Because it seems like every time I do that, the devil's on my back. It seems like every time I humble my heart and you know, I just cast all of my care on Jesus and I say, Lord, I'm going to serve you to the uttermost. It seems like all the attacks are that much more heavy. And so I'm just going to, you know, follow God, follow the Lord from a distance like Peter did. That's not good or beneficial to you or I either. You see. But when we are in the center of his will, when we are waiting on him, when we are basking in him, when we are, while we're waiting on him, we are serving him and others. Whenever we go to him in prayer, and we have a consistent prayer life, and whenever we read God's word daily, whether it's a word, a sentence, a paragraph, or a book, as long as we're meditating and we're doing all of those things, Jesus is our centerpiece. He has the, we are allowing, we are welcoming him to have first place in our life. Preeminence, that's what that means. Preeminence, to have first place. We are welcoming that. And when all of those things is taking place in our lives, then we are on our way to growth. We are on our way to a sharper faith. We are on our way to a deeper knowledge of him in relationship and in word. The first word tonight is prioritize. Prioritize. Now, notice if you would in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Paul says this, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now the word busybodies here, it means to bustle about uselessly. It means to be in a hurry, and it means to bustle about here and to bustle about there, but uselessly. Many times you'll find that that a lot of gossip and talking starts with people that are busybodies, those that are in a hurry for nothing, those that are bustling about uselessly. A lot of damage can be done with a busybody. A lot of damage can be done from a busybody to others, but a lot of damage can be done to this busybody within themselves as well. Well, I've got to take care of this, and I've got to take care of that, and I got to go to the store, and I got to feed the dog, and I got to take the car to go get that oil change I've been meaning to do since last summer, and you know, got to clean the house, and I need a new pair of shoes, and you know, I got to make this phone call, got to make that phone call. You see, it has this kind of effect on us if we're not careful. If Jesus is not in the center of all that busyness, it has the effect of being bustled about uselessly, just being drugged everywhere with all the things that you have to do and I have to do. And so this word busybodies, it means to bustle about uselessly. A good example of this is like a rocking chair, where the rocking chair is stationary and you rock in the chair, but you get nowhere. Being a busybody, being someone who is bustling about through life, hustling through life, but are doing so uselessly. It's like that rocking chair that is stationary and rocking, but getting nowhere. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter number 10. You know the story. Some of you know where I'm going right when I said Luke 10. But Luke 10, in verse number 38 through 42, we have that very familiar story of Martha and Mary. And I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.'" Now, I want to stop there. We have Martha here who is cumbered about, much serving, and she demands of Jesus to get Mary to come and help her. You hear that language there? She says, in that last verse, phrase, she says, "Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Now, there's no exclamation point there, but you can kind of hear the tonage in the voice. "Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Now, the words "cumbered about," "much serving," almost means the same thing as being a busybody. It means to drag around. To drag all around, to drag around mentally. It means to be over-occupied. And so we have Martha who is wanting to make sure that the food is cooked and the table set, and those things matter. They have their places. But she wants to make sure that the air's right and the floor is swept and there's water in the basin to wipe his feet, and you know, there's all of those other things, and she's just She's being drugged all around mentally because she's so overly occupied. There's no joy in her serving here. There's no laughter. There's no passion. All there is she has to make sure that the table's set and the food is ready by the time Jesus comes. And then she says, bid her therefore that she help me. Notice what Jesus says in verse 49. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about not one thing, but many things. But one thing it is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. How about that? Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are troubled not just about this kitchen prep and not just about my coming tonight, but you're troubled over many things. And you have been controlled over these things in your life, and it just took this one thing by you serving and seeing your sister sitting that threw you over the edge. And now you're demanding at me that she helps. In so many words, I could see Jesus saying, Martha, let me tell you what you need. You don't need help from your sister, but you need to be where your sister's at. You need to be hearing my word. You need to be operating from the strength that I can give you. That's what Mary was doing. Mary was doing that. And Martha, she had been coming about with much serving and no doubt many things in her life she had going on up here and was pulling her and mentally was occupying her mind, and now she's trying to set the table, she's trying to make dinner, and she sees Mary over there at Jesus' feet, and she gets angry and she says, Lord, tell her to help me. Jesus in verse 42 talks about that one thing that is needful. I see in these verses tonight that needful one thing is a priority thing. It is an issue of priority, meaning Martha needed to have time with Jesus first so that she could properly serve. There's people in ministry tonight getting mad, getting angry. I mean, listen, there's church members, not here, not at Calvary, but just in our entire world, everywhere, all the churches that make up the body of Christ. It's unfortunate, but sometimes if you're not careful, you can burn yourself out on trying to do everything in so much that you'll create an argument with a brother or sister. There's church members who are fighting and arguing in church because of things that they want to do or things that need to be done. There's all kinds of church splits taking place and people leaving and not coming back. And I just wonder tonight, are they prioritizing their life? Is Jesus really the hub in their life, or is Jesus the rim in their life? Are they operating out of abiding in Him? Or are they just being reactive and trying to solve something that's been going on? You see, there is a prioritizing in our life, and you know this as well as I do. Again, preaching to the choir. We have to keep Jesus first, that centerpiece, because if we don't, life has a way of taking charge and dragging us every which way but loose tonight. But when Jesus is in the middle and we are in the yoke with Him, our labor is easy. Our labor is joyful. So tonight, there's that first word, prioritize. Then there's a second word, and that is the word stretch. The word stretch. Now, in Mark chapter number 3, notice for just a few moments, if you would, in Mark chapter number 3. Thought I had my place marked. Here we go. Mark chapter number 3. There was a story with the man with the withered hand. And in verse number 1, he says, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand." I'm going to pause for just a moment. And in my estimation, and what I've heard about this story, it's where the hand is drawn in. It's a the arteries and the blood flow and the oxygen is all messed with, and there's no oxygen, and it's just kind of all the tendons over time. It just took that loose, healthy hand and just drew it in. No life in that hand. Almost it dead in that hand. So here's the man with the withered hand. Watch this. "And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand," this is Jesus, "he said, stand forth." Verse number 4, "And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace." Verse 5, "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." How about that? No telling all the times in this man's life where he tried to fix and open, and all the solutions he's tried, all the doctors he's went to. "I need help with my hand. It's drawn in. It won't extend. It's gone." And can you imagine how he felt publicly when Jesus said, "Stand forth, you, the man with the withered hand, stand forth," and he stands. Can you imagine what's going through his head? And then he says, "Stretch forth thine hand." And so that actually took a response from him. He had to take God at his word, no matter how many times he tried to open his hand and stretch his hand, no matter how many doctors he went to and how many times the doctor says, "No good, it's over, your hand will never be like it used to be." He had to take God at his word and stretch. "Lord, I've tried before, but I'll try it again only because you want me to. Look at there. How about that?" The Bible says, "Stretch forth thine hand," and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. I'm not saying tonight, listen very carefully, I'm not saying tonight that God heals everybody. I'm not saying tonight that God will perform a miracle and just totally cure your disease, your cancer. We know that God, there's the deeper things of God that only He knows about. We just trust when He does those things. But in principle tonight, in principle, I believe this. I believe stretching has everything to do with flexibility. Now, we're supposed to stretch before we walk, don't we? I'm not giving an aerobics class tonight, so don't y'all think that. We're supposed to stretch. And what happens? Sometimes we just, I've been doing a lot of walking since January, and a lot of exercising, and you know, I need to practice what I preach, because I don't think I stretched one time, maybe one or two at tops since January. But we're supposed to stretch because it limbers us up and we're able to be flexible. Now, the first time that I start walking and I get a cramp in my leg, I guarantee you I'm going to stretch the next time. You know, that's how we are. And you remember the story of Jacob, whenever he was wrestling with an angel of the Lord, till daybreak. I won't let you go until you bless me. God touched that thigh, and Jacob had a limp for the rest of his life. Every time he woke up and he felt that muscle give way, and that limp, he was reminded. He was reminded the principle in allowing God to lead his life and trust him. That wrestle costed him something. Sometimes wrestling with God will cost us something. But nonetheless, when it comes to stretching, it has to do with bringing flexibility. Now, this man with a withered hand, he stretched his hand at God's word, and it was flexible. Sometimes in life, we have got to just stretch ourselves. And sometimes God stretches our faith when we don't want Him to. Lord, I don't want You to stretch my faith. Lord, I'm okay believing You with the amount of faith I have now. Lord, please don't stretch my faith. Lord, please don't give us a bad doctor's report. Lord, please don't let the money run out before the bills are done paid for. Lord, please don't stretch my faith. But you know, there's times where God has to stretch our faith, because He stretches our faith now for whatever's coming down the road that we may be able to wrap our faith around. Our faith tonight may be like this, okay? And we want the battles that comes our way. We want battles that are like this. Faith like this for battles like this, or battles like this. Or battles like this. We want that kind of faith for battles like this. Well, we may be, God may be, and may have been matching your faith to your battle for all these years or these times in your life, but now there's a battle you're facing where your faith is really, it's going beyond this to this. He's really causing you to rely on the reliability of His Word, because somewhere down the road, there's a battle like this, and you're going to need faith like this. This kind of faith won't help with a battle like this. There's some giants down the road, church. There's some big things down the road that we've got to believe God for. And so we need to believe God now for the process. What we're going through now, He is stretching our faith now, so that we can wrap it around those big battles that are down the road. Philippians 3, verse 13. I want you to listen to this. Reading in harmony with this account of the man with the withered hand. Philippians 3, 13. I had it marked. Hold on, here I am. Philippians 3 and verse 13, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived," which means there's more ground to cover. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul says that there's some things that he has to forget about in life in order to attain and fully apprehend the purpose God has for him. Even being an apostle and a church planter and all the rest that he has done so far, he says, "I have not arrived yet. There's more ground to cover." He says, "I'm still trying to grab and apprehend for that which I was called for." He says, "I'm not totally fulfilled. There's more. There's more out there." It's like he's grabbing a rope and he's pulling the rope. There's more. There's more. But he says, in order for me to pull that rope and keep going, I have to forget about the past. Out of experience tonight, the past is one thing that will hang us up from continuing to pull that rope, is the past. You can't do this successfully. All of your energy's not going, you're using energy to look back. But what about that person that did me wrong, Lord? But what about when I fail miserably, Lord? But what about this? And what about that? And if this would have happened, we can't successfully. See the difference? There's a difference, church. So Paul says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to forget the past. And I'm going to grab that rope and I'm going to go forward. God's got my back. All my sins are gone. The devil's defeated at the end. He will shield me from my enemies. I'm going. Whew, that's a workout within itself. Forget the past. Reach forth into those things which are before. And when it gets hard, press. Forget the past. Reach forth those things which are before. And when it gets hard, press. I told the school this morning when we were preaching, I said that we've got 3 weeks of school left. This is no time to drop the rope now. I mean, 3 weeks left. And I can remember when I was in school, hitting that last month of school, man, my mind was on summertime. Was not on mathematics nor demographics. My mind was on Panama City Beach. That's what my mind was on. Not none of the rest. And you see, I spoke from my heart. I just said, look, I said, give it everything you got. Really press. It's like in a basketball game, the full court press. When you're down and it's in the fourth quarter, the last quarter of the game, you know, and you're down a few baskets or you're up a few baskets, but there's no time for looseness. You've got to press. Give it everything you got. I told them, I told the chapel service, all the kids, the teenagers, I said, that's what I told my daughter Lily. I said, 3 weeks left. Don't loosen up. Give it everything you got. And once I pick you up on that last day, we'll celebrate. We will celebrate. Church, it is the same idea. We're living in the last days, the last times, the last moments. Jesus is getting ready to come back for His church. I believe that tonight. And we need to just forget the things of the past the very best we can. Let God be the avenger, if that's what it calls for. Let God be the one who makes things right. And just forget the past and reach for those things which are before. And keep going. Full court press. We're almost done. And when it gets hard, press. Press. And then, when we hit the finish line, heaven's gates, church, we will celebrate. We will celebrate. I don't even know how we'll celebrate. Never been there, but looking forward to it. Listen, there's times of celebration down here together, but the best celebration is yet to come whenever we cross the finish line and we're able to cast our crowns, not our cares, but our crowns at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you for the energy you supplied to carry those burdens and carry that ministry. Let me hurry. The second word is stretch tonight. It's stretch. So, again, we're talking about relative words to remember that will keep us on the right path and promote growth. We're going to have to stretch at times. Always prioritize. But then lastly, it's the word continue. Paul writes, young Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 14, here's what he says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He tells Timothy, when it gets hard and I'm not around, just remember the things that you've learned and been assured of in those things. Will give you the power as you're hooked in with Jesus. They will give you the power to press on. They'll give you the wisdom enough, the wisdom to press on. It'll be your map book, the things that you've learned and been the things that has been embroidered upon your heart, those things will keep you on the right path. Just continue. When times get hard and you have to lean in, just remember the words that I've spoke to you, Paul, and the things that you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There's the word continue. We have just got to continue. Prioritize, stretch, continue. You know, when it comes to fruit, I like to, biblical fruit. You know, I like to, and really, it's my desire to have immediate fruit. You know, preach one sermon, like to see 10 people get saved. Preach one sermon, like to see 10 Christians get encouraged. Talk to one person privately about their problem. The next time I see them, it'll be great if they're not even battling that problem. I like to see immediate fruit. But you know, something I'm learning in ministry, have learned and learning, a lot of the times there's not immediate fruit. You know this. A lot of the times it takes diligence in that preaching. It takes diligence in the teaching and talking to individuals, trying to be an encouragement. It takes diligence, but then it takes a watering of tears over those situations. Just like a seed takes water, so does our ministry take tears. I was reading up on the process growth of a peach tree. And from the time that a peach tree is planted to the time it grows tall and bears all kinds of peaches, takes at least 4 to 5 years to get that first peach. 4 to 5 years. For Christmas, I bought Lily a bonsai kit. The bonsai tree. And so I ordered this kit, and I had this idea where me and Lily are going to, you know, Christmas morning, go in the backyard and plant a bonsai tree. First of all, I thought it already came grown. I thought it was already about like that, and it has the trimmers, little trimmers, and you can trim, you know, how you want it to look. Bonsai tree. We got that thing, and there was like about 7 little cups, and they all had one seed in them. And we were to plant the bonsai tree, and the thing said, in 7 to 10 years, you will have a great big bonsai tree. And I was confused because I thought bonsai trees at full growth was out that little. 7 to 10 years. Why in the world did they send the trimmers already? I'd lose them by the time the thing was grown to trim it. 7 to 10 years before we'll have a, and all kinds of, it was a purple bonsai tree. You know, one that looked like it sparkled. I don't know what that was all about. But all these bonsai trees, and it was just a seed. A little seed in each one. In like manner tonight, as we get ready to close, is fruit in our life? Is fruit in ministry? Listen, we can't, and I'm preaching to me, cannot get disheartened, discouraged, when there isn't fruit when you preach a message. When there isn't fruit when you give the best advice you have to a loved one. When things seem like they're lingering on and nothing's going to change. We have to lean in. We have to stretch, because sometimes it takes 4 years, 5 years. Hey, I heard a story one time of a mother praying for her, it was a sister praying for her brother. And I think she prayed for, I think the story said about 40 years. And then finally, one day he walked an aisle and he got saved. 40 years. Sometimes it's the first time someone comes to church and they hear the gospel and get saved. Other souls, it takes 40 years of cultivating to bring them to that place of trusting Jesus as their Savior. At any rate, whatever, all the fruit bearing is up to Jesus. Some plant the Word, some water it, and some reap. I might be reaping at times where others have sown. And I might be sowing tonight where others will reap years down the road from this one message. You never know. But the equality is all the same between us. We are called to be faithful stewards of the Word of God and over what God has given us. I'm not called to be talented or gifted. I'm called to be faithful. God doesn't need wild and big charismatic personalities for ministry. He just needs and wants you and I to be faithful in whatever area it is. And if it happens on Sunday and something great, that's wonderful. But if it happens when we're dead and gone and we might just hear about it in heaven, that's fine too, because it's all up to Him. The third word tonight that's relative that we should remember is just continue. Continue on in the things that we've learned and the things that we've heard out of God's Word. Stretch and prioritize. Keep Jesus first. Father, we love You tonight. We praise You. We thank You for Your Word, the truth of it. Lord, forgive me if I've said something, Lord, that wasn't right or just perfect. God, I'm a learner in the process as well. Lord, I just want to bring You glory with my life. I want to be a help to the church. Lord, I pray that someone was helped tonight. And Lord, as we get ready to fully be back in, I know I sound like a broken record, but Lord, Sunday morning, Sunday night is already installed, Lord. All we have is Sunday school on Wednesday night. Lord, help us to just revamp some areas. Lord, help us to make sure that there's not a stone left unturned that we haven't examined, starting with me, Lord. Help us be about Your business. Leave all the consequences. Leave everything else up to You, because You're the one, Lord, that gives the increase. We love You tonight. We praise You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to thank you for watching tonight. And I want to remind you of this coming up Sunday, Mother's Day. And we will be right here at 11 o'clock. And so looking forward to seeing you and having you with us. Looking forward to having Brother Don and Sister Carla Rich also with us. And what a blessing that's going to be to just have a church full of God's people with everybody's attention on Mother's Day. And the God that takes care of mothers. We love you tonight. We thank you. And we just be back with us on Sunday morning. God bless.